Hello, you are listening to Julian Ickham of the CKMS Newsroom on CKMS 102.7 FM in Waterloo, Ontario, radiowaterloo.ca on the web. This program is part of the Local Journalism Initiative grant program and is funded by the Community Radio Fund of Canada, the Government of Canada, and the CKMS Newsroom. You can access the archives of this show on radiowaterloo.ca/news. A main goal of this newsroom project is to fill in the gaps left by local mainstream media news outlets on many of the issues which have the most impact on our local community. Specifically, we want this project to spread a more robust analysis around the intersections of homelessness and displacement, poverty and mental health, and the war on drugs and safer consumption initiatives. We want our listeners to gain a deeper understanding of the complexity of these interactions so they may be more prepared to participate in addressing these issues. This week, we will examine the impact of the coronavirus on homeless people and drug users. This show will be the first of three shows examining this problem from different perspectives. Today's show, we will talk to two street activists about the impact of the coronavirus has on poor people and drug users. Yvonne Stojkovic is a local organizer who has been organizing for more than 30 years in Kitchener, Toronto, and Kingston. His activism ranges from 10 cities to stopping the war in Yugoslavia in 1998, and he has been very vocal on issues of poverty and homelessness, working with groups ranging from OCAP, KCAP, Kitchener 10 City Coordinating Committee, and other anti-poverty groups, to anti-imperialist groups such as Kitchener Canada Cuba Friendship Organization, to the Hugo Chavez People's Defense Front. Following Ivan, we will hear from Jonathan Stone, who has helped organize the last 3 10 cities in Kitchener and is also a member of the Revolutionary Student Movement. In both of these interviews, the impact of the coronavirus on poor people and drug users is discussed from the perspective of organizers. And my next episode will share some experiences and perspectives from healthcare workers. And the third part of this mini-series, we will hear from drug users themselves. We're now talking to Ivan Stojkovic. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. I'm enjoying the last of the quarantine before we're all forced to come out and get sick. My works are threatening to reopen, and I'm a little worried about that, but I'm really enjoying this time off.
Why is your work threatening to reopen?
Because they want money. Because they want to extract surplus value for my labor, that's why.
How is the coronavirus affecting poor people?
Well, it depends on the people, right? Some poor people are better off because they're getting these checks and time off work, such as myself. Some others that are really poor are not doing as well, I guess. It's a really interesting way how this CERB has basically put most of us into a potential position of criminality. So it's basically the state has given people money. It's really easy to get, thank God, unlike in the States where people are, you know, waiting for their checks still that they applied for 2 months ago. But anyway, but by accepting these checks, by applying them and accepting them, almost everyone is in one way or another compromised. So, you know, if you didn't quite, anyway, if you're on welfare, if you're on ODSP, if you, you know, earned a few extra bucks more than whatever the stipulation said and so on, you're in big trouble potentially. So it's really kind of scary, eh? What happens when you have no money? Your crime goes up, you start stealing. Hopefully, you know, people go into rich neighborhoods and take what they need. I don't know. What's going to happen? I don't really know. As I said, we're all, in one way or another, basically criminalized at this point because of this stupid CERB. They couldn't just give it to people. They had to put all these conditions, and they had to make it essentially, you know, illegal for whoever's getting it to be getting it.
How is this affecting people with drug problems?
Well, I'm hearing that the overdoses are way up. I mean, it doesn't surprise me because the drugs are illegal and are traveling from far away. I mean, most drugs, I think, are coming from either Latin America or Asia, and the supply routes are all disrupted, and there's a lot of bad drugs coming in, and the state is refusing to provide safe and free supply, so the people are dying at a higher rate. It's really bad.
Overdoses have increased. Places where people can get assistance are shutting down, and people are dying. What can the government do to help these people?
The government can, for very cheap and very easily, supply safe and free supply of drugs. How much is does it cost a government to get an opioid pill from one of their friends' pharmaceutical conglomerates? Like a buck? 30 cents? 25? How much? It's nothing. Just give people the goddamn pill once a day and a clean syringe and direct the pigs to leave them alone. There's your solution. Like, it's so simple. It's that simple. You know, leave it to the people, because they know what to do. Nobody knows better than somebody, you know, addicted to heroin, how to shoot heroin. So don't be telling people where to go, what to do as well. Give them the 30-cent pill and give them a 30-cent rig and leave them alone. 60 cents a day.
What about homeless people? What is happening with homeless people in this time when people can't afford rent?
Here in Kingston, where I live, the homeless people have been setting up tent cities or tents in parks. And I just listened to an interview with one of the guys in a. They're now all kind of, most of many people are congregated in this one park that nobody's using, and he sounded really happy. He was saying that they're finally being left alone, that the cops are not bothering them, that, you know, they're good where they are. The problem is that the city, you know, chief officer or whatever, the big city boss, was given all these extra powers now because of the pandemic, and she's threatening to clear them out. So that's something that we're dealing with right now in Kingston. I've never, you know, heard somebody so it sounded really good, you know, the interview with the guy. His name is Nathan. I mean, it sounded like there was finally a little bit of peace going on. I don't know how it is in other places, but it seems like the cops are not too interested in fighting right now anyway. And it seems like the people were finally left alone for a little bit. Because the problem with homelessness is not so much homelessness itself, even. It's even more so the persecution of the homeless. So it's one thing to not have a home and be kind of stuck outside, but it's another thing to be chased from park to park, from backyard to backyard, from place to place, like a fucking criminal. And just with all the might of the state behind that persecution and terror.
Speaking of persecution and terror, you're talking about people getting evicted and people putting pressure on these homeless people. What is this pressure, and where are they supposed to go?
That's the thing. I mean, they don't care, you know. The city has literally come out and said, you know, we have nothing new to offer. we just want them out of the park. She mentioned this person. In fact, she mentioned provincial parks when they open being available potentially. It's ridiculous. Provincial parks are way out in the country and they're closed. So, like, what they're trying to do is kick people out right now, and then just, I don't know. I don't know what they're trying to do. They don't have a program. They don't have, like, there's not enough room for social distancing in the existing shelters. Most of the places are closed, and they're not providing new housing. They're providing, you know, heavily policed kind of quarantine places for people that are infected, but people are not sick. So anyway, they don't have a plan. They don't care. They don't care.
What do you mean by they don't care?
I mean the city wants the park cleared, and they don't care where people go as long as they're not on city park property. I guess they want them back in the shelters. I don't know where they want them. It's they don't want them in the park. So, you know, it's a crime, supposedly, to be camping out in the park where people are somewhat happy and building community, finally, you know, getting some peace.
You've been involved in 10 cities in Kitchener, Toronto, and Kingston, and right now there's a rent strike going on in Kitchener, Toronto, and Kingston. Can you talk to us about what's going on right now with the rent strike in Kingston? What do you think this will lead to?
The rent strike in Kingston is not very widespread because we're not very well organized, and because we're kind of lagging behind the bigger places as far as the rent strike goes. And we don't really know how many people are not paying rent and so on. We know that some people are not paying rent, and we know that some people are calling for rent strike, others are not. It's hard to tell what the situation is. We know that nobody can get evicted right now, but we're worried about what happens in the future, so we have channels through which we can organize around that, if need be. And we're still advising people on their rights and so on, through Cataract Union of Tenants that I'm a part of. The bill just, the conservatives are getting a bill through that's supposed to make it 148, I think is the number, that's supposed to be making it easier for landlords to kick out people after the COVID, so it sounds like they're preparing for a pretty swift clearing of the people that haven't been paying rents, and it's going to be quite a fight, I guess, because a lot of people can't afford rent. The rents are exorbitant and crazy. People are paying, you know, more than 50% of their regular income on rent, and now with in a lot of cases with the income going down, people are in big trouble and they can't pay. And it's really the issue with the rent strike is not so much that you know we're trying to gain things by not paying rent, is that people cannot afford rent, and that's partly recognized by various governments, including the Conservative provincial government, because otherwise they wouldn't have a rent freeze. They're obviously aware of what's going on. The future is very uncertain, and there could be a big fight on our hands over this.
Any final thoughts before we finish?
Just get ready, organize, put the word out. Most importantly, I mean, I know that this is kind of going from the bottom line of survival to crazy utopianism, but I don't think we have time to play around anymore and talk about taxation and so on. And I think that we have to really start yesterday organizing resistance to the return of the way things were before COVID. I think, however horrible this whole thing is, the great thing is that it's finally slowed down runaway production that was destroying the planet. And I think that we've learned that we need a lot less as a society than we thought we did. And I think we have to find a way to stop capitalists from restarting the production of junk and plastic and sugar and all the other poisons and that are destroying us.
Okay, thank you very much. Now we will speak to Jonathan Stone, who is a community activist who is involved in 310 cities as well as is a member of Revolutionary Student Movement. What impact has COVID had on poor people and on poor drug users?
Well, on poor drug users, like, one thing I've noticed is that the price has gone up. It's increased. So this has because of the supply and so it's made life a lot harder for many. And many have to cut their drugs with substances that are not that are not as safe, and so it's been more more deadly too. And also, there's the thing with the people can't use the buddy system anymore, which makes it safer for people to use if they're alone. They are more likely to OD. And people are more likely to be alone because that's what social distancing is, right? So, and this criminalization and it was already deadly for drug users in the urban poor before the crisis, but now it's just made things way worse. So it has to if people want to fight the disease and fight the fatalities, it has to they have to take a new approach. Like right now, what the government is doing, they really don't care. Like you have Legault, and he's really mishandling it, and they're spending like $1 billion on military fighter jets to do flyovers of the city. Well, people are missing PPE and personal and medical supplies and housing. So it's quite frightening where the priorities of the government are. So we have to remain critical about the state's response to the crisis. And we always have to say they're not doing enough.
You mentioned that people are cutting their drugs that aren't positive. One of the things I've noticed is GHB is being used to cut drugs. What impact does this have on the safety of women and other vulnerable people?
Yeah, GHB. It's called the date rape drug. It's used to make people pass out so that they can be sexually assaulted. It's very dangerous. It's a very dangerous substance. It makes life a lot harder for these people because it also and there now that there is more social distancing, there is less trust. There is less trust that can be used, and people have to rely on their friends to get information about the drugs they are using, about where it is sourced and whether it is a reliable source, whether it is a safe source. So it makes things very, very, very dangerous for them, and it really shows that the effects of the crisis, which has already been very deadly because of the disease itself, has been made exponentially worse because among the urban poor, among drug users.
Any last thoughts?
I just want to say, keep fighting, never give up, fight for housing, fight for your rights. And I want to tell everyone to apply for the CERB if you can, and try to. They say they will try to make you pay it back, but when they do, we will be ready. We will fight them. We will appeal it. So, yeah, just go out there and get that money, okay? And because get what's yours, then get more. Because your survival, it's something you got to fight for. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
All right. Peace out, comrades.
Thank you. Thank you very much for listening. This episode of CKMS News featured community activist Ivan Stojkovic and John Stone, and they were speaking about the impact of the coronavirus and all that comes with it on homeless people and drug users. This is part one of a 3-episode series, which will also include interviews with drug users and frontline healthcare workers. This has been Julian Ickham of the CKMS Newsroom on CKMS 102.7 FM in Waterloo, Ontario, radiowaterloo.ca on the web. This program is part of the Local Journalism Initiative Grant Program and is funded by the Community Radio Fund of Canada, the Government of Canada, and CKMS Newsroom. You can access archives of this show on radiowaterloo.ca /news. Thank you very much for listening.